Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons, Sherry Baby, went number one on this day. This is part of our day in history, of course, our interludes here. And before we get to our guests, reminding you the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you in part by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, offering a full range of financial services. MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, is helping its members and its community prosper. When you invest in yourself, MeQ invests in you. Remember, it's a credit union, not just a bank. Belongs to you. Money comes back in the end. More information, www.mecu.com, or you can go to steinershow.org. MeQ, Baltimore's credit union's banner is right there. Well, his banner is not our website because that would be illegal, but he is back in our studio running for Attorney General, State Senator Brian Frosch, who won the Democratic nomination. Good to see you, Brian. Welcome.
Thanks for having me back, Mark.
Good to have you here. 410-319-8888 is the number here. You can tweet us at Mark Steiner, talk@steinershow.org, or you can get onto our Facebook page. It's 410-319-8888. And the last time you were here, you were running for office. Last time I saw you, I was helping
on
debate.
I'm still running.
And you're still running for office because you have a libertarian opposition and
a Republican.
And a Republican opposition.
Yep.
And we'll be talking to them as well. But it was funny, just a political question before we get into the heart of some of the stuff you've been saying on the campaign trail and all the emails that I get from you, is that people had you down and out in this race.
Yep,
they
some did.
People, I mean, the pundits were saying less in the polling. Can't was what happened to Brian Frosch? Why can't he?
My mother was convinced I was going to run all the way through.
Your mother knew,
right?
But it was interesting how, I mean, so many people in the political world were going. It's amazing that, you know, Cardin's in front and Brian Frosch is losing. And
well, I mean, I think the key was that people weren't focused on the race until the last few weeks,
right?
And as they started to tune in, my support began to grow. And I think that's the major factor in what happened. Of course, you know, we didn't have enough money to start advertising in January or April. And so we started advertising as people started tuning in. And I think they liked our message.
So let's talk some of the things you wrote. You've been talking about and also been on your information coming out by email. It was interesting to see a candidate for the state of Maryland lauding an industrial workers of the world hero, Joe Hill, in one of your emails. Now, what about the unions and workers? Tell me about that, because clearly that was not sent out without your approval.
That's right. I mean, Joe Hill was a controversial person in American history.
Yes, right.
But he was one of the leaders, one of the founders of the organized labor movement in the United States, and important in that respect. And, you know, there are a number of songs, but one that I remember especially when I was a kid that talked about Joe Hill and his fight to organize workers, because, you know, the owners of industries have concentrated economic power. And the only way to balance that power is for their employees to organize and speak with one voice. And that was the principle it's the foundation of organized labor, and it's the principle that Joe Hill fought for and died for.
But so what is it, before we go to the phone here, Charles, we're going to come right to your call, 410-319-8888, to follow up very quickly. But so that sounds great, but what does that mean? In hard reality, if you become the next AG, what is that? What do you do about that? What's your role in that? What do you have to say?
Well, you know, the email that I sent out was an email about Labor Day, and I thought it was important to think back about the beginnings of organized labor and what that meant and how it was a life and death struggle at the time, life and death literally for Joe Hill because he was executed. But also for the workers in those factories who often didn't have enough to pay the rent, enough to eat based on what they were earning, and were working in dangerous conditions. And we take some of that for granted today, but we still fight some of those same battles. And we fought the battle about the minimum wage this year in the General Assembly and managed to raise it. But there's still many people in the state of Maryland who work full-time and don't make enough to feed their families and pay the rent. And so it's a struggle that goes on, notwithstanding the great strides that we've made.
But do you have an effect on that? Can you have an effect on that as AG?
The Attorney General has an effect on basically every area in life in Maryland. Counsel to the Department of Labor Licensing and Regulation and the person who enforces the labor laws. So when people are misclassifying employees, not paying them as contractors instead of as employees when they really are employees, the Attorney General is the one who enforces those laws. So, yes.
Let me go to the phones here, 410-319-8888, as you talk with State Senator Brian Frost from Montgomery County, who is seeking to become the next Attorney General of the state of Maryland. 410-319-8888. Charles in Baltimore, you're on the air. Good morning, Charles.
Good morning, Senator Frost. I just have one quick question. I don't know if it was already asked, but I wanted to know, what would you do to protect consumers here in Maryland?
Thanks, Charles. It's an important function of the Attorney General. The Attorney General is the person who enforces the consumer laws. And when I was in the General Assembly, I was the sponsor of laws that protect consumers from cheats and frauds and scams. I was the author of the law that makes identity theft a crime. The Attorney General enforces those laws. So when there are examples of people who are cheating senior citizens or who are cheating consumers, the Attorney General is the one who prosecutes that. And I'm looking forward to playing that role.
How do you think that plays itself out? What have you seen in the past? What do you see coming up in the future that would be, some just little examples of what you're talking about?
Well, there are the typical examples of fraud, people calling up senior citizens and cheating them out of their money. Those are hard. It's hard to find those folks. Sometimes they're calling from overseas, but those are specific cases that the Attorney General can prosecute. As a big problem, one of the things I see is debt collection. We have the same problems in credit card debt, student loan debt that we faced during the subprime crisis back in 2008, or that started in 2008, and it has the potential to have the same impact on our economy and certainly a very negative impact on the people who fall victim to it. The banks sell off their credit card debt after they've held it for a little while. When it becomes delinquent, they sell it off. And the folks who collect it don't really have information about who it is that they're chasing for that debt. They got a name, Mark Steiner or Brian Frosch, and on the spreadsheet it says, you owe them $1,000. But that's really all they know, and the banks sell it to them without any other warranties. They say, well, we think Steiner owes us $1,000. Go get him. Often, payments have been made on it, the statute of limitations is run, or it's the wrong Mark Steiner or the wrong Brian Frosch. And the people who are getting those calls and getting sued sometimes don't know what their rights are, don't know how to deal with it, and they end up in a lot of trouble.
Well, can the Attorney General, what's happened after the fact is that Attorneys General across the country came together to kind of address some of the issues that affected when the housing market crashed and people were losing their houses and their mortgages. But what can attorneys general do? What can you do to be proactive and not wait for that to happen? I mean, you know what I'm saying? Because you just outlined something that's going on right now that can affect millions of people and affect the economy. So what can you do that's proactive and not waiting for the roof to cave in?
Yeah, well, one of the things that I can do is to go on the Mark Steiner show and say, hey, look, this is a problem. If you're a debt collector and you're engaging in these practices, you better stop because the Attorney General is going to take action. And as Attorney General, of course, if you find those kinds of patterns and practices, you can prosecute them. You can stop them. You can get them to cease and desist. You can recover the money that they have obtained in violation of the law.
I have some follow-ups to that, but let me go back to the phones first at 410-319-8888 as we talk with Brian Frosch, the Democratic candidate for Attorney General in the state of Maryland. Marion in Baltimore County, you're on the air.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning, Marion.
Good morning, Mark. Good morning, Senator Frosch.
Morning.
I just wanted to ask a question in reference to this ongoing problem we have with duplication of programs and curriculums and majors at our colleges. As you know, the Supreme Court ruled in Brown versus Board of Education that segregation is illegal, and yet our historically black colleges half programs, and then the program is duplicated at a white college, and then, of course, that keeps the colleges segregated. I really believe that something ought to be done with that. One of the reasons I voted for Aisha Brave Boy was because she specifically addressed this issue and planned to make it a high priority if she were elected attorney general. Are you aware of this issue, and
yes,
do you plan to do anything about it? And I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you so
yes,
much. Good question.
Marion, yes, absolutely. I'm aware of it. There is a lawsuit pending in which Judge Blake of the U.S. District Court has held that Maryland has not complied with the law and allowed duplication of programs. She found that the state had not underfunded HBCUs, historically black colleges and universities. But that issue is also, I think, still alive. She required the parties to go to mediation, and I think as Attorney General, that's one area in which I can be extremely helpful. And the Attorney General really represents all of these institutions, the HBCUs as well as the traditionally white institutions. And we all have an important stake in educating our kids, making sure that they get the best possible education, not only through high school, but also undergraduate and graduate as well. And I think the Attorney General can play an important role in bringing these groups together. Everybody has something to gain here, and everybody has something to lose. It's the litigation that's going on is expensive and time-consuming, and we'd be better off devoting our resources to improving the programs that our kids get, not only at Morgan and Bowie and the other HBCUs, but at the University of Maryland, Baltimore County, Towson, and around the state. I think this is an issue that has a potential to benefit everybody, but the parties have to come together, I hope, as Attorney General to play that kind of
role. How do you see it resolving itself? I mean, there are serious conflicts between right now, let's say, around duplication issues with the University of Baltimore and University of Towson University as well as, you know, UMBC that feels like it's blocked out from being able to create engineering programs. I mean, it's a very serious issue. I mean, how do you put your hands around this, and what do you think the outcome can be?
Well, I think the outcome can be that we get excellent programs at all of the different universities, ones that don't necessarily duplicate each other. I hope, though I know there's resistance to this, that we can offer some of these programs jointly among some of the different institutions. I mean, we've got great leaders in our university system, and interestingly, we have two great African-American leaders in institutions that are considered to be traditionally white institutions, Kurt Schmoke at the University of Baltimore and Freeman Hrabowski at UMBC. I just think there is enormous potential for everyone to work together here and make our entire education system better.
So, I mean, and of course, some people at places like here in the institution where we're broadcast from would argue that this should be the home of engineering in the Baltimore area because this is where the school exists. And if you duplicate that or if you spread that out to other institutions, then this institution loses and historically black college universities historically lose.
Look, Morgan has a semi-independent status, but we're really talking in general about the University of Maryland system. I mean, Morgan is a little sort of outside it, but the system can work, I believe, in coordination with all of its elements, including Morgan, to offer excellent education for everybody. And I can't give you a blueprint for what the ultimate compromise should be for two reasons. One, it's a deal that has to be struck by the principals. And the Attorney General is not a principal, but I hope a facilitator in that process. And second, I have not been deeply involved at this point. I haven't sat in a room with either the folks who are going to make these decisions individually or collectively, and that's an important
component. Right. Once you're AG, though, you'll have to figure out whether you represent the state on one side or whether you say, no, I'm not going to do either. I'm going to come in there and I'm going to be the negotiator to make this work.
I think there may be a little bit of both.
Coming back to what Charles raised in terms of the consumer end, there's one of the things I was reading recently in several different financial newspapers that what the banks did with bundling mortgage loans, they're now doing with car loans.
Yep.
And what's worse is they are saying if you – and they're giving these – they're teasing people in, same way they were teased in before, with these low rates and then shoot up. And working people are losing their cars, have no way to work. And then unlike it used to be, once they repossess your car, you still have to pay the loan off. You still are stuck paying these payments for an automobile you don't own. So how do you address that?
Well, what you're talking about specifically, I mean, there are lots of different problems.
Yeah.
But one that you're talking about specifically is called the yo-yo loan. That is, they give you a loan, you drive off with the car having signed the papers, and then call back and say, oh, you know what? The bank didn't approve your loan. You got to bring the car back. And P.S., we have a loan for you anyway. It's a little bit more. That's illegal. And the Attorney General's office can enforce that loan. So can enforce that law. So if the buyer is subjected to that, one of the things to do is call the AG's office. It's a violation of the Consumer Protection Act and can be enforced. They get their attorney's fees paid, and or the attorney general can pursue it for them. But that's just one of many consumer ripoffs that goes on. The bigger, I think, the bigger problem is addressing the billions, trillions of dollars in consumer credit that the banks sell off to debt buyers for 2 to 7 cents on the dollar. If I have a $1,000 loan, they're selling it to somebody for $20 or $70, and it gets sold again and again and again.
Is that something you have to do in conjunction with the other attorneys general, or you can do something on your own?
Either way. It obviously, you have more firepower if the other state's attorneys general are acting with you, but it can be done either way.
So you also sent out an email, and I want to follow up with something that's attached to that, but really in the public's eye at the moment, around domestic violence.
Right.
And what the Attorney General's office can do with that. I mean, we all see the Ray Rice thing, but people are not paying attention also, is that in Alabama, Judge Foreman, I believe I have the name right, who beat his wife up in a hotel lobby, he's white, was given a pretrial intervention, had his record expunged, and is still sitting on the federal bench because no one's started impeachment proceedings against him in Alabama.
I hadn't heard about that.
But they're not pushed. No, they put Ray Rice is all over the news.
Yeah.
But a federal judge beats up his wife, taped, on tape, see him punch her, kick her, and he's still on the bench.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I mean, first, it needs to be said that domestic violence crosses all classes, ethnicities, races.
It's a very important fact.
Throughout our society. It doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor. It's a sad fact of life, one we need to address across the board. The one thing that Joe Curran did when he was Attorney General that was very effective and very important was he formed the Family Violence Advisory Council, and Doug Gansler has continued it. It has continuously, and it's within the Attorney General's office, it has continuously addressed the gaps in our law in Maryland so that at least the tools are in place, the procedures are in place to address domestic violence. The Attorney General doesn't prosecute individual instances of domestic violence ordinarily. That's done by the state's attorneys in the various jurisdictions. But it's an important this council is very important because it keeps its eye on the big picture. One of the things we did in the last session, and I was the sponsor in the Senate, Governor O'Malley was a strong it was his initiative as well, was to change the standard of proof that a victim of domestic violence is required to make in court. We had, unlike any other state in the country, we said, if you're a victim, you got to prove by clear and convincing evidence that you are a victim of abuse or that you're likely to be a victim of abuse. And that's very difficult because most of these disputes aren't in hotel lobbies picked up by security cameras. They're in the privacy of people's own homes.
Right.
And it's one person's word against another person's word. You go into court and many judges will say, well, you know, I think you're right. But I just don't find that you're right by clear and convincing evidence. We changed that, and I think you'll see victims getting better protection in Maryland.
Is that part of your role now as Attorney General to fight for legislation? People have argued that one of the things that people argued in several races here was in the state's attorney's race in Baltimore. One of the arguments has to do with a person who is been accused of committing four heinous rapes.
Yeah.
But because of the way the law is structured, they couldn't bring those rape cases together on courts.
Right.
But that has to do with the legislature changing the way rape cases can be prosecuted in the courts.
Right. Look, the attorney general is a bully pulpit. If I'm elected attorney general, I won't have a vote anymore in the Maryland Senate, but I still have a great platform. I still have a bullhorn, and I intend to use it. So if I see an area in which the law is wrong or inadequate or insufficient, I'm going to be using the platform.
And I misspoke earlier. It's Judge Mark Fuller. I want to get that name right, and it's on our website. Judge Mark Fuller, who is the federal judge in Alabama, and we're going to be probing some folks about why they're not bringing up an impeachment case against him in the Congress. Why he's allowed to sit on this bench, which I think is just an absolute absurdity and a miscarriage of justice. One of the things that's happening in this state and across the country, we looked at Ferguson, but it happens here in Baltimore and across Maryland, are issues of police treatment of African-American citizens in the state. How does the Attorney General intervene? How will the Attorney General intervene? How will this Attorney General intervene if he's elected?
Well, as I did in the General Assembly, I'll do everything I possibly can to stop racial profiling, to stop disparate treatment of people based on their race, ethnicity, religion. There are a number of ways in which the Attorney General intersects with those problems. Mostly the actual instances of arrests and crimes charged are handled at the state's attorney's level. The stuff in Ferguson is very sad, depressing. I mean, you see this total absence of trust between the community and the police. And there are I guess it's the executives of the different jurisdictions, the mayors, the county executives, who have to reform those bonds. But the Attorney General can play a role again in using the bully pulpit of the office, and in addressing some of the underlying causes. And one of the underlying causes is one that we addressed this year in the General Assembly. We decriminalized possession of marijuana, and you see throughout the country, but in Maryland in particular, thousands of people. In Maryland, 30 to 35,000 people a year arrested simply for possessing small amounts of marijuana. You crank these people through the criminal justice system, and it ruins their lives. We had a story of a guy who came before our committee this year. Where he said, look, I was driving my car. I got pulled over by a police officer because I had a taillight out. He said when I rolled down the window that he smelled marijuana, and he couldn't possibly have smelled marijuana because the guy hadn't been smoking. He didn't have a significant amount out airing. But the cop handcuffed him, sat him on the curb, went through his car inch by inch, and found a speck of marijuana. I mean, literally a few shreds of
right.
something. The guy was taken to the station. He was booked, spent the night in jail, lost his job because he didn't show up for work the next day and didn't call. And he said it was now 3 or 4 years later, and he hadn't been able to get back to the same economic status. He now had a criminal conviction on his record, and he was struggling to make ends meet, whereas before he was succeeding. This guy happened to be white, but it literally set his life back years. And that's the big picture that the Attorney General and the General Assembly need to focus on.
We have like a minute before we have to go to a break here for the next program coming up behind us. So a closing word from you, Brian Frosch.
Well, as I've said before on your show, Mark, I grew up watching my dad fight against segregation in Montgomery County when that was a controversial issue in the 50s, and defending people's right to free speech and the exercise of free speech. I have a passion for justice. As Attorney General, I'm going to fight for justice. That's the bright light that I'll be following. That's the core principle of what I'll hope to do as Attorney General, is fight for justice.
Brian Frosch, State Senator Brian Frosch, Montgomery County 16th District, is now seeking to become the next Attorney General of the state of Maryland in the November 4th general election. He's a Democratic nominee. Good luck down the campaign trail.
Thanks
see
for having
soon,
me,
Brian. Good to have
Good
you here
you.
Again. We're going out here with little James Brown, Mind Power, because in 1993 in Steamboat Springs, Colorado, they named their James Brown Soul Center of the Universal Bridge after this singer, James Brown. We go up with little James Brown, and leaving you with that today. The Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our producers are Stephanie Mavronis and Mark Gunnery. Our engineers are Andre Melton. Our intern is Sienna Greaves. To hear the show again, you can podcast our past shows and please visit us on the web at steinershow.org. You can also listen to and download our podcasts on iTunes. And for Public Radio WEAA, 88.9 FM, the voice of the community, I'm Mark Steiner. Take care. It is what it is.